Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Citigroup says it will listen, but will Wall Street? Now that shareholders at Citigroup have become the first at a major Wall Street firm to vote to reject executive pay under the Dodd-Frank financial bill, which calls for a say-on-pay vote every 3 years. But that vote is non-binding, so how is Wall Street reacting? Let's bring in Joanne Lublin. She's management news editor for The Wall Street Journal. Joanne, this was the pay package for Citigroup CEO Vikram Pandit, but also other executives. What did shareholders, and by the way, they included groups like the California and Florida public worker pension systems, what did they say?
Well, this was what's called a say-on-pay vote, okay? It's an advisory vote. It doesn't force the company to do anything, but it does send a clear wake-up call to the board at Citigroup that shareholders are not happy that the company's performance has not kept pace with the pay that the top executives are getting.
I guess that's the question. Does it send a clear signal? Because, as you said, it's non-binding. The Citigroup chair says the shareholder vote is a serious matter. But, you know, do they really have to do anything about it or because of it?
Well, what they do have to do about it, and that's part of the law, too, is come back in their proxy statement next year before next year's annual meeting and tell their shareholders, here's what we did in reaction to your vote last year on our pay practices. They have to describe corrective actions, how they perhaps reached out to shareholders, found out what were the reasons that they said thumbs down on the pay package for the top brass. And they have to make a really good faith effort to try and get them back on their good side. We saw that already happen so far this year with a number of companies who either lost their say-on-pay vote last year or saw it narrowly get approved. They came back in their proxy statements this year and said, okay, we heard you.
Well, and some of the companies, actually, there's only three besides Citi this year, KB Home, International Game Technology, Inc., and Actuant Corp. They failed to get that shareholders' approval. Last year, 41 companies failed. Did we see any of those outcomes that you just spoke of? Did we see boards come back?
Yes, and in a number of those cases, especially those who had squeaky narrow victories or saw thumbs down on the say-on-pay vote, I've seen a number of companies changing their pay practices. They're putting in more bells and whistles. You can't just get the money for showing up for work. You actually have to perform. They're getting rid of what some shareholders consider to be outrageous perks, getting to fly on the corporate jet for everything, even your golfing vacation. They're putting in better, governance practices in some cases as a result of some of these votes to make it easier for shareholders to say, we don't like the directors. So they're doing, some of them are going to annual election of directors rather than every 3 or 4 years. What better way to let the board know you don't like what they're doing on pay than by voting against them?
Well, it's funny you mentioned corporate jets. Brian Magori, a columnist here at the Boston Globe, writes today about tracking down the jets of Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. And he did that through a Wall Street Journal website called WSJ Jet Tracker that tracks the flights of these corporate jets. And many of them are going to the vacation homes of the CEOs. But Exile on Wall Street author Mike Mayo says that Citigroup is one of the most egregious examples of disconnect between the incentives of top management and the value creation of shareholders. I mean, this idea that shareholders want to see something for these pay packages. But in just the minute we have, is the board of directors tone deaf? Do they not hear these rumblings?
I think in this case, the board thinks that they did the right thing because in the case of Mr. Pandit, he had earned a dollar a year for salary for 2 years when things were going pretty badly for the company, and that they have repaid their federal loans and they're on the comeback trail. But clearly, if they weren't tone deaf, they were at least a little hard of hearing in not doing enough of an outreach ahead of their annual meeting to see how their institutional shareholders were reacting to these recommendations from these two proxy advisory firms.
And as we have heard in the past, very often a problem is that the board were appointed by some of these CEOs. So that's probably going to be looked at as well. Joanne Lublin, management news editor for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.